the Apostle Paul said this. He says that, I am what I am by the grace of God. Think about that verse. Think about that statement. What was he at that time? He was possibly the greatest apostle. He would go, I mean, a man, how many of you would want to take mission trip? And every mission trip you go, you get whacked, you get rejected, you get stoned, you get whipped, you get the VIP card to go to the most prestigious dungeon. And after you come back for a respite, you know, get clean clothes, wash up, and get a good meal, he said, right, let's go on. And then you get whacked, you get stoned, you get beaten up, you get accused, you get thrown into prison again. How many of you constantly want to do that? The apostles today fly in business jet, stay in six-star hotels. Nothing wrong with that, okay? There's nothing wrong with that, all right? But that's not the apostles I see. Every apostle that really... You know, the apostle basically means the sent one. The word apostle means the sent one. Who is sending them? Even the apostle Peter, when... Even though he's been called apostle in the book of Acts, Jesus have to send him to Cornelius' house. Isn't it true? You remember? Acts probably chapter 9 or chapter 10. And you know what he says to Cornelius? You know, Cornelius sent his trusted servant and a believing soldier, and they went to they went to Joppa, which is Jaffa today. They went to Joppa and to get Peter, and then Peter, they stayed overnight and they walked in, and there were about probably 70 people waiting, all the relatives, all wanting to hear this great man of God. And he stepped in, and the first thing he says that, do you know that it's unlawful for me to eat with you? Yes. But he was sent one, because God told him, they are looking for you. I have sent them. Do not reject them. Go with them without question. And Peter had said this, if God didn't send me, I wouldn't be here. So what's the apostle? The apostle basically means a sent one. So if you have gone into mission field and the pastor has sent you, you know something? You are actually doing apostle's job. A sent one. That's all. Okay? But what did the apostle Paul says? He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So if you really understand true leadership calling, this is what true leadership calling is. On your death time, the time where you rest, the time where you literally lay to rest, is the time you actually, God is actually giving it to you to find out who he is and what he is. Who is he? He is God. He is your savior. He is your master. He is the boss. What is he? He is your leader. He is your provider. He is your caller. He's the one who called you. Not you. Not the pastor. Not the denomination. Not yourself. The calling must always be from God. And when you come out, he says, I am what I am. So you begin to do the ministry. And people begin to recognize that ministry. You know something? That's what the grace of God is doing in your life. I am what I am by the grace of God. And I, by the grace of God, what do? I work, I labor more abundantly. You know, grace of God doesn't, when you understand the true grace of God working in your life, you don't compare whether you're doing more or somebody is doing less. Amen. You are oblivious Your focus is not called. You are not called to judge. Well, she is doing more. She is doing not so much. That's not your job. That's God's job. And God did not call you to be God. Did you understand that? And it says, by the grace of God, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet, not I, but the grace. The credit, no matter how much you do, the credit does not come to you. It goes to Jesus Christ. It is not me, but the grace of God. Therefore, whether it is I or they, so we preach and so you believe. And therefore, the grace of God, that calling is never meant for you to look good. The calling is that you are actually used by God. So you understand what God has done for you, and that's your that's saving you. And what God is doing in you, that's saving you. And what God wants to do through you. But it's not by you. It's by His grace. And that is what we call to leadership. Because every leader, every person called into a ministry is a leader in one form or shape. And tomorrow when we look at that, you look at how the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John give us a very clear pattern of what Christian leadership ought to look like. Very clear. Without a shadow of doubt. I've never learned this from Bible school. I learned this through the University of Hard Knocks and Big Mistakes. I learned this through blunders. I've learned this through my own stupidity. And yet, the grace of God says, come on, you had enough of that, let's move on. That's what the grace of God does. The grace of God will never leave you when you fail. Men leave you. Church leave you. Friends leave you. Family leave you. The grace of God will never leave you, because the grace of God is a person called Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And therefore, if you understand and you say that, Pastor, Brother Paul, I feel that I'm called. The question is, called unto what? It's never called unto authority. It's called unto service. And when you call unto serve, it's never to tell people what to do, how to do it. It's to help people to function better. It's never for yourself. It's always for others. If the ministry is about you, yourself, what you can do, what talents you have, what intelligence, what experience you have, then it's not a call of God. It is your ministry. So if somebody come along and says that, hey, I want to take over New Hope Ministries, I say, if by all means you want to take over, because it's not mine. It's His. When I started the ministry in the year 2000, September, I was in Australia. A few months after I came back, I started September 2000. Exactly 1 year later, September 11 happened, 2001. And you know where I was? I was actually in Australia on September 11 night. You know, Australia and United States is almost two different, very different time zone, right? So I was there. I finished a ministry with a group of friends, and I said we booked. We couldn't afford a lot of money back in those days. So we booked the cheapest airfare at that time, and that was through Malaysian Airlines. So in Australia, so what we do here, you know, this is Australia, that's Singapore, that's Kuala Lumpur. So I had to fly from Australia past Singapore into Kuala Lumpur, catch a connecting flight back to Singapore, you know. And we finished the day before the flight. So I asked my friend to check for me I said, can you please check whether Malaysian Airlines have an earlier flight? Because the flight was about 10 in the evening, 8 in the evening, sorry. And I was just saying that, so I told my friends, hey, you guys want to go back earlier with me, you know? We have finished the ministry. And they says, we want to do some shopping. It's the last day, do some shopping. And I said, you guys can shop. You know, I'm not shopping, simply because I don't have the money to shop. Right? I said, I just want to go back. And therefore, my friend says, yeah, you can. There is an earlier flight. And it's at 6 o'clock in the morning, which means you have to be at the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm not going to drive you to the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning. So you know what I did? We came back from the town that we were ministering. The rest of my friends checked into the hotel. It was close to 8 or 9 o'clock at night after dinner. I took my bag and I stayed at the airport. Lonely. It was so lonely. Been the two of us. I was looking for my little mouse called Ben. And I stayed there, and next morning I was first in line. Checked in, went home, flew back. So we flew from Sydney all the way to Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur. And there was about, by the time I reached Kuala Lumpur, and by the time I reached back to Singapore, was about 9 o'clock at night. It didn't take that long, you know. A journey that takes normally half the time would take double because I have to do transfer. What happened was that 9 o'clock at night, I went home, I took my shower, I was towering myself in front of the TV, catching up the news, and guess what I saw? The first airplane, crashing into World Trade Center. I'm thinking, oh no. Unknown to me, my friend just boarded their plane all the way to Kuala Lumpur. And they were laughing at me the night before. So silly, you could just bunk in with us and we could have just, you know, spend a day together and don't worry about stuff. And they were all making fun of me. Guess what? When they landed in Kuala Lumpur, the whole airport was shut down for one whole day. Every bag was searched. Every plane was searched. Everything was searched. And they were saying, how did you know? I am the man of God. I didn't know. Who knew? Even the U.S. intelligence didn't know. How would I know? I just felt a need to go home. To just get home. So sometimes when you lack of resources and it forces you to cut back and stuff like that, don't complain. God is protecting you. God is protecting you. I have many friends with many testimonies. They expected, when September 11 happened, they expected more than 10,000 deaths. Only 3,000 died. It is by the grace of God. It is by the grace of God. A friend of mine who works in that very tower shared this with us when he came back. He said he drove his car every morning. He would drive his car. He would park, because he lived in the suburb, he would park his car at a car park there, take the train into the city because it's so expensive to park in New York. You know, and then because the train station is just walking distance from World Trade Center, he says that he has never been late. Never been late in his life. That particular morning, he got there, he got to the train, and when it's almost halfway through, he says, I forgot a file left in the booth of the car. He was so angry, cursing at himself because he was making a big presentation that day for a very important client. Took the, got down the train, ran across to the platform, took the next train back to where the car, all the way he was cursing until he reached the World Trade Center that was not there anymore. And the floor that the plane crashed him was exactly one floor above his office. You do not know how much God loves you. You do not know that even you are called, how much God wants to protect you from going the wrong way. You do not know that your calling to God is more important than the calling to you. You do not know. And the issue here is not here, neither is it here. The issue here is what do you do when it's on the soil form. So very quickly, I will give you the four eyes. The four eyes. Every one of us is a seed. And a seed is insignificant. First eye, we are very insignificant. Right? When you throw a seed into the ground, is it significant? Nothing. The second eye is when you are invincible. So the call of God in your life is the seed form. But when you are planted in the soil, nobody sees you. Nobody knows you are there. Some people even walk over the soil that you have been planted in. And that is your invincible stage, the second eye. But the third eye is the most, to me, most critical. The third eye is whether you're ignorant or intelligent. You can be so ignorant of what God is doing in your life, or you can allow the Holy Spirit to make you intelligent, wisdom we call it, that you see, that you don't understand as the seed begins to sprout out roots and sprout out. And then the shoots start coming out from the soil and it becomes the fourth eye, an indestructible tree where the wind or rain, sun or snow, it stayed firm because of what's happening during that portion there. My friend, you are that seed. And three things you need to know about that seed. Number one, that seed is protected because you are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ. Number two, in that seed, in you, every provision that you need for your call, in whatever capacity, is already provided. And number three, that seed, once you allow God to teach you how to be intelligent and not to be ignorant or what is he doing, even though you don't see in the natural what's happening, you allow God to touch you and mold you, you will begin to understand that seed is not only protected, Nor does it only have the provision, but it has the potential. And number four is that when that seed that allows God to transform that seed in that calling, not only have the potential, but also have the product to show what God wants him to be. So not only are you protected because Jesus protects you, not are you provided because everything that when he gave you the Holy Spirit is already there. Not only have you had a potential, but whether you allow God to use and grow that potential to become fruitful, to produce the product that he wants to produce. None of us are the same. Please don't compare. Some people are writers, some people are readers, some people are singers, some people better don't sing. Isn't that true? I can't sing. Many years ago, I wanted to sing. The choir director says, I told the choir director in my old, very old church, the Methodist church, the first church I went to, there was this beautiful girl on the choir who was a backup singer. And I thought, she's a backup singer. I'm going to be a backup singer. So I went there, went for an audition. And then the choir director, who's a very famous choir director in Singapore back in those days, and she says, Paul, you cannot be a backup singer. Back off. So my question to you tonight, as you go back and sleep and you leave, I'm going to pass papers out here right now, okay? So just each of you just take one piece of paper, pass behind, please. Come, can you just help pass papers around? And just take the paper, don't write anything yet. Let me give you a quick instruction what to write. But one question I want you to really ask God tonight, not ask yourself, but ask God tonight is this, okay? All right, don't write on the paper, don't write on the paper. It's not for you to write on the paper. The paper is for something else. Don't write on the paper yet, all right? But tonight when you go home, please ask God this question. Lord, there is a call in my life. What are you calling me to? What are you calling me to? If you feel there's a call in your life, ask God, what are you calling me to? I'll tell you this, okay? Whatever God speaks to you, okay? Ask God for this. Show me in the Word. It must be confirmed with the Word. The Word doesn't give you direction. The Word gives you confirmation. God gives you the direction, but the Word gives you the confirmation. Did you understand that?
Yeah.
All right. Can God use the Word to speak to you to give direction? Yes, of course. But it must be from the Word, because this is why God gave us the Bible. Right? And I want to see my heart for... I didn't share this with Pastor Vic, but my heart for MGF is this. You know, I look around and I see very faithful people. And I was asking the two of them, the beautiful couple. You all know it's Nancy's birthday today, right? You all know it's a birthday today, right? If you do not know, shame on you. Neither did I until yesterday. I asked them this question when we were up in Cairngorms. All right? Cairngorms. Forgive my Scottish, it's so profound, I don't even understand it. I asked them this question during lunch, was that, what do you see MGF? How many people do you want to see MGF? What sort of church does MGF have? I am the kind of teacher and preacher and leader that like to tell and ask pastors and ministers, what is the vision cast on the church on a consistent basis? Without a vision, the people perish. But with vision needs to come knowledge. For my people are destroyed without, not for a lack of knowledge. So that too comes together hand in hand. And that's why I asked that question. They gave me the answer. And I think it's that for what is in their heart, and that's good, you know. I'm not in the position to say that's right or wrong. That's what they shed in their heart, and that's good. But I would actually want to see, as I travel, this is my second year, and I'm gonna commit myself for the next 3 years to come back here to teach, if you want to. If you don't want to, I'm going somewhere else. So I'm gonna ask the Lord to make provision for me to come here around this time for the next 3 years. And by the end of this 5-year visit, let's see where God bring MGF to. Let's see how we can bring in young people. I'm looking at Val. I was sharing, and I'll tell you this, Val. I'm going to basically say openly, since the first time I saw you last year. Since the first time. We hardly talk, okay? I didn't talk to her about any ministry. I didn't talk to her about anything. But there's actually a very strong call on her life. I didn't say full-time call, but a call to touch youth, young people. And when what Nance and her shared with me over the last 48 hours, basically is a confirmation of what God told me about her. So you're on the right track. And it's not going to Singapore, don't worry. So the thing is that when you go back, please ask God. Ask God. If you're a member of this church and you say, Paul, I don't have a calling, then ask God, what is my contribution here for MGF? If you have made MGF your home church. And I see very faithful people. You know, I see, honestly, some of you guys are solid as a rock, more solid than these rocks. It's true, and we need people like this. We do. But listen, for the church to grow, we need to expand the leadership. For the church to be what God wants it to be, we need to groom new leaders as well. And I think that's important. I didn't ask permission from Pastor Vic to share this, but I see that very needed in this church is to groom new leaders up. And that doesn't mean there's no place for the older ones. It means that you need to learn how to father them, father the new leaders. You need to be able to allow God to touch you, teach you, so that you can be a teacher to the next generation. And that's important. It's very important. Okay? So go back, ask the Lord. Now, if you have your piece of paper, write one word, just one word, all right? And the word is, what is the greatest desire in your heart right now that you want to see God manifest? That one word. For example, I'll give you an example. Perhaps you said wisdom. You want God's wisdom. All right, just one word, all right? Or you may write prosperity. I need God to prosper me. That's fine. Okay? Healing or health or relationship. That one word. Okay? Just think of that one word and write it down. And then after that, you can put on this box. I'll come around and collect. What's all these coins about? Money for the roof. Ready? Thank you. Anybody else? You didn't write? You need a pen? There you go. No worries. Thank you. I hope there's $1 million somewhere. Anybody else? Dave, have you put inside? Good. Still put in? Okay, good. Thank you. Right. The first thing I want to teach tonight before we close, and we'll carry on this tomorrow because it's already 9:30 here. Did you enjoy tonight?
Yes.
Did it help you?
Yes.
Did God drop something into your life? I'm going to talk first and foremost about authority. I'm going to use this example. And that one thing that you wrote, and I do not know who wrote what because I never asked you to put your names down. So if you did put your names down, that's not my fault. All right? But because it's Nan's birthday, I'm going to get Nan to sit in front here. All right? And I'm going to get Vic to pick up three cards. And I'm only going to ask three of you to come and pray according to the three cards. Because when you pray with authority, knowing that it's not your authority, but His authority, we want to see that manifest over her life. She doesn't know what she wrote. I don't know what she wrote. I don't know what you guys wrote. Okay? That's your birthday gift from me. I didn't buy you a gift. Cheapskate.
This is much better.
So please sit down. Vic, come. No peeping.
No peeping. Three.
Okay. Right. Now, let's, Val, yeah. You pick three person to pray for your mom. Okay. Okay. Come. Three beautiful ladies. This is the ladies' ministry, yeah? You're going to take one.
Okay.
You're going to take one. You're going to take one. So what I'm going to do, this is the instruction here. Okay, read that. Okay, read that. What does this? Okay. Mm-hmm. What's yours? Okay. What's yours? Okay, we need another one.
I get it wrong, did I? Did I get it wrong?
No, it's just a duplication. What's that? Okay, good. All right. So, I want you to just take a few seconds to think how you're going to use that word and bless Nance and pray over her. And we want to see that come upon her. Amen? Amen. The rest of you sitting down there, your participation is to agree and stretch forth your hand and let's bless her on her birthday. Amen? Amen.
Father God, I just thank you for the encouragement that Nancy is to all of us. I thank you, Father, that the encouragement that she gives to us be deep in our heart, because I know sometimes that she does struggle with personal encouragement, but she takes her encouragement from you, from the Holy Spirit, and we just ask now that this well of encouragement that is desperate to overflow from her heart will do so, that she not only experiences it herself, but she experiences it for the rest of us, Lord. You are an amazing, amazing God, and we just thank you for the encouragement that we can get from the Holy Spirit and from your word. Amen. And we just want to give Nunzi all the love and the encouragement that we can through your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the heart of my sister. I thank you, Lord, that in this place she is a person with a vision, Lord, from you, and that vision is for the women and that is for the people in this church. I pray a release in creativity, Lord. I just pray that she knows that you're there, that she knows that your burden is light, Lord, that the stirring in her is opened and released and flowing freely so that she comes up with ideas, Lord, so that she can see what it is that you have for her, Lord. Give her ways, Lord, open her mind to understand and to receive ways to reach the women, to reach the people around her, to reach anyone in her sphere of influence. So I thank you that as she thinks upon you, Lord, as she thinks upon your will for her life, I just pray creativity all over her, Lord. I pray that it flows out. I pray that it comes to the word and flows out through her hands. And when it touches people, Lord, they see you. And I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated, everybody. I'm going to just pick one card out. I'm going to pray this over all of you. Can? Cannot? Oh, guess what I got? L-O-V-E. Okay. Please rise, everybody. Close your eyes. Look up to heaven. Don't look down on the floor. See Jesus loving you. See your Abba Father touching you, embracing you. See Jesus. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I command your agape love. Lord, that MGF, Mirror Grace Fellowship, will also be a fellowship of your agape grace, Lord. A fellowship where people step in and they feel your love, Lord. They feel your grace. Father, I ask right now, and I take authority in Jesus' name, and I command, Lord, I command your overflowing love to flow in and through each and every one here tonight. Not only to them, but their families and their loved ones, Lord. I speak your peace. I speak your grace. I speak, Lord, your love. The Father, those of you, those that you have called into one capacity or another, Lord, that their motivation is not self, but their motivation is your love, Lord. Father, touch everybody's life, that even as we go home tonight, give us a good night rest, Lord, that we will wake up tomorrow ready and expectant, Lord, to receive from you, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we give you all the praise, all the glory, for only to you and you alone deserve all the praise and glory. So, Father God, we just thank you for your love. Right now, we receive your love. Go ahead, say, Lord, I receive your love. Lord, I receive your love. Say that again, Lord, I receive your love. Father God, bless us as we journey home in your grace and your protection and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Good night.
Hallelujah. We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.